From KCBW Good News in Salt Lake City, I'm Jeff Robinson. Not New Hampshire, not South Carolina, but Orlando, Florida. That's where former Utah Governor John Huntsman has reportedly picked as his campaign headquarters in the event that he formally plans a run for the White House in 2012. But why Florida? Every Friday, we talk with Thomas Burr, Washington correspondent for the Salt Lake Tribune and author of Political Cornflakes, a daily online roundup of Utah politics. He joins me now on the phone. Hi, Thomas.
Hey, Jeff.
So, Thomas, what would be the advantages of running Huntsman's campaign from Orlando, Florida?
Well, one of the bigger advantages, of course, is it's right near Walt Disney World. So, you know, if they ever get tired or there's, you know, they have some time to kill, they can walk over to the Magic Kingdom or something like that. But I kid, actually, you know, it's one of those things that's a tough choice, I'm sure, for Huntsman, because he's not necessarily going to run a campaign based in Utah by any means.
Right.
And running one, you know, the house in D.C. now, but, you know, running as the D.C. candidate isn't really too great either. So Florida is where, near Orlando is where his wife, Mary Kay Huntsman, is from. It's where she spent her, you know, growing up. Years, her family's still there, so he does have, you know, kind of a tie to the area. And again, of the options, it was probably the best way to pick.
He probably just really likes Space Mountain.
Yeah, of course. I can't even imagine the poster with, like, you know, Huntsman and Epcot Center behind him. it's a nice symbol.
That would work. So, Thomas, we now know that Mike Huckabee is not running for president, and with that news, his former campaign chairman Mike Campbell is now backing John Huntsman. Is that significant, do you think?
It is, really. Mike Campbell was the former, he's the son of the former South Carolina governor, mm-hmm. and he ran Huckabee's operation in South Carolina in 2008, where, you know, Huckabee came in second. He did really well. So, you know, having him, son of Huntsman, is, he brings his supporters, brings his donors. You can also bring some help from social conservatives, but, you know, number one, he was one of the first people to jump to a candidate after Huckabee announced. So, you know, that helps Huntsman get some momentum.
Do you think, in general, Huckabee's departure from the race and losing the evangelical crowd, I suppose, will have an effect on Huntsman?
You know, it splits it up a little bit. If Huckabee was in, they might all coalesce around him, especially in states like Iowa and South Carolina, where you know, evangelical voters are a big deal. It certainly, you know, leaves a lot of more supporters open that Huntsman could go after.
So, Thomas, last week we talked about Time Magazine's profile of Huntsman, where he talked about his religion and had some very interesting comments there. Now they published a follow-up Q&A with him, and his comments on climate change seem to be drawing the most attention. What exactly did he have to say?
You know, it was really interesting to see how he handled that question, because that's always a tough one. Of course, the Republicans, who, you know, a lot of them out there are not big fans of the idea of having climate change, that it exists. And Huntsman's response was essentially, if 90% of oncologists told us something caused cancer, we believe them. But, you know, so he's saying, if 90% of scientists, as they are, most people would say, believe that climate change exists, then we ought to believe them, too. On the other hand, though, he's distancing himself from, you know, the cap-and-trade stuff that he supported before,
right,
when he was governor. And it's kind of interesting. His timing there was to say, look, you know, 5 years ago when I was pitching cap-and-trade in a regional, like, carbon market, it was okay. But now we're, you know, in the depths of a depression and, recession. Thank God we're not in the depression. You know, it's not the time. Not really sure that's going to work, because actually only 2 years ago, Huntsman delivered a letter to the White House as part of the Governors Association supporting a cap-and-trade program. So he's going to have to do a little more talking there.
And yeah, I remember back hosting a gubernatorial debate in 2008, his full-fledged support of cap-and-trade, even when the Democrat in the race did not support it. So this probably opens him up to accusations of flip-flopping pretty heavily.
Yeah, that's a dangerous spot to be in, and you know, of course, she's trying to explain it, but we'll see how voters respond to it.
Turning our attention to Congress, Thomas, your colleague Matt Canham just wrote about the latest financial reports from Utah's 5-member congressional delegation. Who's got the big bucks right now?
Yeah, it wasn't me and it wasn't Matt. So I think
Not me either.
Thorne Hatch usually comes in as, used to be Bob Bennett. Bob Bennett used to, you know, have the most money or the most debt, one of the two. But Thorne Hatch now is the richest of members of Congress. He has between $1.36 million to $3 million, and you know, they kind of report him in big categories. So he's somewhere in there with his net worth. Congressman Matheson is doing better. He had some improvement in his personal income to in his investments. To he has up to $1.3 million, $3.7 million. Of course, it's no secret. Other than Rob Bishop, who was a school teacher before he got elected to Congress, is one of the poorer members. But Senator Mike Lee actually took out a personal loan up to $100,000 last year. It's probably one of those, you know, costly things of running a campaign and trying to live, and he wasn't getting any set of checks yet, so he took out a big loan, and right now he could actually be under up to like $118,000.
And speaking of Mike Lee, I understand he just signed a book deal. What's his book about?
You know, in one way, maybe it's about filling some of that debt, but the book is about the balanced budget amendment, which Senator Mike Lee talks about quite often. In fact, I feel like I could write the book for him in some ways, but he signed on with Regeni Publishing, which is a conservative publishing house, and it's essentially going to be about how, you know, America's fiscal situation, America's spending is really taking away from our personal freedoms, and we need to cut that back.
So Orrin Hatch writes songs, Mike Lee writes books. I guess Chaffetz, Matheson, and Bishop all need to step up their game and find some kind of hidden talent there.
Yeah, maybe they can start their own newspaper.
Oh, there we go. We've been speaking with Thomas Burr. He's Washington correspondent for the Salt Lake Tribune and author of Political Cornflakes, a daily online roundup of Utah politics. Thomas, we'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds great. Take care, Jeff.